Welcome back here to X's and Bros, hour number two on this Wednesday. Poll question of the day from yesterday. The line for the Michigan State-Michigan game, 24.5 in favor of Michigan. What do you think of that line? Is it too little, too high, or just right? Too high. Many people believe 24.5 is too much for the rivalry game. 43% voters right now. You can cast your vote at XB Mornings on our Twitter page. Danny Cahalan, Ryan Elke, in our Motor City studio. I'm Anthony Bellino coming to you from the radio bunker. Great to have you with us this morning from Traverse City down to Toledo. No matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening to us all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio as well on the Michigan Sports Network, we appreciate you. Text the keyword sports radio to 21,000. Sports radio to 21,000. Interesting that the number is 21,000. You just played 21 Savage, Dan. Just throwing it out there. Coincidence? I think not. Auto Valley guest line 313-396-5527. Let's get to the phone line. We have Steve. He's on deck right now. Steve, good morning to you. Happy Wednesday, my friend. How are you?
Good. Same as you, Anthony. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
You and I spoke before about listening to sports on radio. Mm-hmm. I was just so more, well, to me, it's better. This year, I heard the Preakness on the radio because I couldn't see it on TV. Oh, my gosh. You want to talk about epic. It was wire to wire, you know, photo finish, and the last quarter, last quarter mile was just epic. So, but anyways, yeah, you get to see that. I suggest you get it because the home stretch was just awesome. We were talking about the bad bullpen move yesterday, and it got me thinking to Game 7 in the 1968 Tiger World Series. Now, I know your mom and dads weren't even thought of yet, but. That's not a
1968. My dad was in the Marine Corps.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm a lot older than you think, Steve. I remember. The 60s were great. I don't really remember them because I've had a lot of fun in the 60s, Steve.
Really. You kids are babies, anyways. But the Tigers won the World Series, and Mickey Lowich went 3-0 in the series. Now Lowich, he pitched 9 innings, had 2 pickoffs, and Bob Gibson for the Cardinals pitched 9 innings. I mean, I understand times are different, bigger athletes, and, you know, you're paying them $1 zillion. You don't want to see them get hurt. But these guys didn't care about taking care of their body. I mean, Denny McClain used to drink a case of Coke a day. I mean, these guys just didn't care. Jim Leyland smoking heaters down on the dugout steps, you know, going into the clubhouse. I mean, it was just – I just thought about that, you know, when we were talking about the World Series there, and it made me think that – boy, times are really different.
They should have kept Blake Snell in. That was a terrible move last night. I don't know. It's the last game of the year. If you lose, like, how do you not keep your man in there?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. Why would you pull him?
Yeah, and the way it happened, too, was like, you got to be kidding me. You know, it's just like, is this happening, you know? But I tell you, the Red Sox got to be crying. You know, Mookie Betts, oh, my gosh. They got to be hurting there. Last thing. I heard yesterday, this was epic, an interview with Jerry Jones on a Dallas sports station.
Oh, yeah, he does his weekly hit on, is it 105.3 there in, yep. In Dallas?
Yeah, 105.3. Yep. And he was in this interview and with one of the show hosts, and he said, shut up to him, let me talk. So that started it off. And then he also said at the end of the conversation, which was epic too, he said, don't piss an old guy off with money. And then the conversation kind of ended, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome, you know. But only Jerry can do that. Anyways, that's all I got today. Oh, another thing too about that situation, I don't know if you heard this, but Mike McCarthy came out and said that he lied to Jerry Jones on an interview. He told Jerry Jones that he watched every game, every play of it. Then, in an interview, he said that he lied. And I guess Jerry Jones was there, and he didn't say anything. But from what I understand, they said Jerry Jones was fuming. So, you guys have a great day.
Thanks. All right. Thank you very much, Steve. A lot to get there. A lot to unpack with that one. But, yeah, the Blake Snell removal in last night's World Series Game 6 didn't make any sense. Jerry Jones having a weekly – what football owner has a weekly radio spot? Like, think about that and then get back to me. You know what I mean? Who else we got up there, Dan? Is Freddie on the phone?
Freddie is on the phone, yes.
Freddie's on the phone. Freddie, good morning. How are you, my friend? I'll take a pepperoni with mushrooms. Throw it in there. Let's get it hot.
Well, Steve only left me 4 minutes, so we're going to tease it to the next segment. So I got my theory on why you, tweeted out to your base. There's another guy I know that tweets out to his base all the time. you kind of did the same thing. It was kind of funny. But
who's that?
I don't know. There's a guy that tweets out to his base all the time.
Well, who is it? You can say his name. I won't be offended.
You're a smart guy. You can't figure it out?
No, I have no idea who you're talking about.
I don't talk politics. I don't talk politics, so.
Oh, Trump?
Yeah, listen.
I was just crowdsourcing just to think, because I thought I was looking at the schedules, and I'm like, well, with the L.A. Rams upcoming, good luck with that. The Cardinals are playing pretty well. The Chargers and Justin Herbert, that's a great matchup between the two rookies. They have Buffalo there, Kansas City there, the Raiders there. Like, it looks pretty difficult on the surface looking at Miami's schedule versus what Detroit has, you know, where they have that run of Chicago, Green Bay, Tennessee, Tampa Bay. But outside of that, Minnesota twice, Washington, Carolina, Indy, Houston. Like, I just feel like the schedule definitely favors the Matt Stafford and the Detroit Lions. And I just wanted the people to know that, you know, when I win this, that I get a pizza.
Well, that was my – well, I'll just get to it. That was my theory. Because I was going to say, he brought up Jerry Jones. I'm like, it's nice to have an owner with passion that can actually do something. But you tweeted it out because you saw the schedule. See, I didn't look at the schedule. See, schedule means nothing to me. Schedule is nothing but a piece of paper, and it's not about who you play. It's about when you win. And the Lions, the Lions are typical of that. It's not about who you play. It's about when you win. And if I think when you saw the schedule, you're like, oh, they're playing the Rams this week? Oh, I'm going to tweet that out. So I think because you saw the schedule, you tweeted out. That's my theory. And then you tweet to the Lions fan base. Like I even have a chance to even win that when you tweet to the Lions fan base in Detroit. You got to at least tag Tua. You got to tag the Miami Dolphins. I mean, you got to be fair. And I'm here to double up my bet because my theory is that you only tweeted it because the Miami has a tougher schedule. So I'm going to double up my bet. Miami plays the Rams this week, right?
Yes.
Miami's going to beat the Rams this week. And I got Deshaun Watson on my fantasy team. And I picked up, he's on bye this week, so I picked up Tua Tagovailoa for my
So I have so many questions here. First off, I didn't tweet it to the Lions fan base. I just tweeted it. I didn't say anything.
I didn't
use a hashtag or anything like that. You can't tweet it at Tua. Tua doesn't care. You can't tweet it at the Miami Dolphins. They're not going to do anything. All it's doing is notifying them of, hey, there's a tweet here that has to deal with your quarterback, but they're not, like, the fan bases of those teams aren't going to see it.
Anthony Bellino is the king of Detroit Lions. Everyone knows that. They know. All the girls know Anthony Bellino, the Lions.
Man. Look at you piling it on. All I said was this. Here's the wager. Stakes for pizza. Freddie the Pizza Man wants to bet.
I'm doubling up my bet right now. I'm doubling it up. The Miami's going to beat the Rams this week.
You're on. I will take it.
Okay, another steak, another pizza. And by the way, I hope I'm wrong on this. I really do. Because we all want to see the Lions win. We all want to see them go to the playoffs. We all want to see them win. So I hope I'm wrong on this. But I don't think I'm wrong on this. And, you know, if the Lions – and I want you to understand something, too. If the Lions win seven games, eight games, which is probably going to happen, you're going to have a coach and a general manager walking around with their, like, peacocking – because, like, oh, see, told you we could turn this thing around. We won more games. You don't want that. It was Bob Quinn that was in the press conference last year, really basically talking down to the fans when they beat Green Bay in a Week 17 game. It was him that said, see how they hustled at the end and they did all this and that when they only won three games? You don't want that. All right,
there it goes. Freddie the Pizza Man, I wonder, okay, all right, well, wow, a lot to get there, too. We'll step aside. We'll be back with more X's and Bros after this year on the Michigan Sports Network.
Delightfully devilish deals are just around the corner when you shop at Meijer. Buy five and save $5 instantly when you mix or match Halloween favorites like Hershey's snack-sized bagged candy, just $2.79 each. Lay's potato chips, just $1.99. Plus, save 40% on Halloween costumes. And enjoy free Meijer pickup on orders of $50 or more. Visit Meijer.com to get started. Don't wait. Enjoy the spooky savings while they last at your local Meijer. Exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
Huge here for my friends at DraftKings. Now, there's no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes that are up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, do it. Download the DraftKings daily fantasy app and remember that promo code HUGE for your shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Like I said, for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on all the action. Enter code HUGE to get that free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code HUGE only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Download that DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now and remember promo code HUGE.
We have batteries, brakes, mufflers, and more in your auto value. Heart Store, where service is the difference. We get it.
This month, True Fuel Premixed Oil is just $5.99. Perfect Stop Dot 4 Brake Fluid for just $3.49. And if it's time for new shocks and struts, then it's time for Monroe. Shop online at MyAutoValueStore.com and get 15% off orders of $75 or more with coupon code FALL15. That's Auto Value, where service is the difference. We get it.
Mookie Betts and the home run ball taking over the World Series this year. Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. 18 minutes after the hour, no matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, we appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning. The Tampa Bay Rays squandering a wonderful outing from their top pitcher in Blake Snell. Dodgers win 3-1. They take the series 4-2. They are World Series champion. When will they ever get their parade? That is the question. I know LeBron James is very exciting for the City of Champions. LeBron James now a Dodgers fan, even though before he used to wear a Yankees hat, which I always thought was very interesting.
And he's a Cleveland Indians fan, too. He was at the World Series games, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I just missed my mouth with some coffee. That's always disappointing. He was a big Tribe fan, Roll Tribe. Also a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Huh. Also a Browns fan.
Also a Browns fan.
And Ohio State fan.
Very, very much an Ohio State
fan. And Duke.
And Duke, yeah. Coach K. Connection there. They're like blood brothers. Welcome back here into the program. Lots to get to. First off, I want to talk about the Everson Griffin move from yesterday. So it is announced, it comes out on Twitter that, hey, wait a minute now, the Lions have made a move. What exactly does that mean? It means that Everson Griffin is coming back to the NFC North. He was traded yesterday from the Dallas Cowboys to the Detroit Lions, sending him back to the division in which he became an All-Pro with the Minnesota Vikings. Four-time Pro Bowler as well. Lions give up a conditional draft pick for the 32-year-old pass rusher. Per the COVID-19 protocols, he will not make his debut this week against Indy. He will pop up next week. So it won't be on the 1st. It'll be on the 8th. The Dallas defense is atrocious. They have not been good. According to the Detroit Free Press, Griffin played between 50 and 60% of the defensive snaps, was second on the team with 2.5 sacks and 6 hits on the quarterback. Sunday against the Washington football team, he did have a sack, 2 quarterback hits, 5 tackles over 39 plays. That's pretty productive. That is pretty productive. He spent 10 years with the Vikings. In 58 games in the NFC North, he totaled 30.5 sacks, 16 of which came against the Lions, 11.5 against Green Bay. You remember that that play that was highlighted in this free portion of just about Griffin and how he lifted his shirt after sacking Matthew Stafford. I just had a baby boy. What should I name him? The son's name is now Sebastian. He was also, before he went to USC, he was recruited heavily by Michigan, which I thought was kind of a fun story. But what is 32-year-old Everson Griffin? What can he bring? I don't mind the – when I first saw the trade, I was like, okay, what did we just do? Right? What did we just do? What did we have to give up? And how are we going to look at this trade? This is the other question. At 3-3, the Lions kind of seem like they might be buyers. The New York Jets were shopping Quinnen Williams as well. There was a name that was circling around. He was the young man that sneezed and then blessed himself in the same sentence, which was always highly entertaining. But
you've never done that before?
No, I can't say that I have, at least prior to watching him do it. Now I bless myself all the time. But I do find this move kind of interesting because, one, getting some help on the defensive side of the football obviously is that's a good move. That's a good move for the team. When I saw it was a, you know, conditional 6th-round pick, not worried about that because it really doesn't, you know, it's really not going to necessarily affect. I mean, who was the 5th-rounder in this past year's draft? What happened to that guy? So we're assuming it's a conditional 6th-round pick in 2021 that could become a 5th-rounder. Everson Griffen does give another pass-rushing option, which is where the Lions have struggled. Right? They have struggled in getting to the quarterback. They've struggled in creating pressure. And if you're going to play in any sort of zone defense, you have to be able to have your front four get pressure on the quarterback without having to send extra guys. It's not really something that has necessarily happened. But in 7 games... to have 2.5 sacks and 14 pressures and 21 tackles, I would say that's decently productive, all things considered, and the fact you only had to give up a conditional 6th-round pick. I actually like the move. The Lions, they need some help. The team only has 8 sacks on the season between Trey Flowers and Romeo Okwara. They have 6 of them. And the 8 sacks this season, that's a total that ranks 28th in the NFL. They've sacked quarterbacks on only 4% of their passing attempts this season. You would hope that Everson Griffen can come in here and be able to apply more pressure. He's had 5.5 or more sacks every single season since 2012. So I think that number is a fun number. We'll see what Corey Undlin wants to do as far as trying to use him next week. It is unfortunate he can't play right away. But in the last couple of years, the Lions have been somewhat active during the trade deadline. 2018, they got snacks from the Giants. They traded Golden Tate in the final year of his contract to Philly. Last year, they traded starting safety Quandre Diggs to Seattle. So they're not afraid to get busy. My question is, at 3-3, hosting the Indianapolis Colts, what if they do win? Like, what if this does happen where they rattle off these 5 wins and they get to 8-3? It's been 63 years for the Detroit Lions without a title. 63 years. No Super Bowl. That's just without a title. And we can't, you know, we're struggling to even win a playoff game at this point. But if this team does make a little bit of a run, does that provide a little more job security for those who might be a little higher up the food chain? I think that's a very interesting question. Something we're going to, as a fan base and as those that cover the team, something we're going to have to keep our eyes out on. Everson Griffen, conditional 6, could become a 5th-rounder. I'm good with it. I think you know what you have. I think he's a 32-year-old. I think he's got, you know, some gas left in the tank. And I like to see the fact that at least they're somewhat active trying to make the team better at some point. Dan Ryan, you saw this news coming across the wire. What did you what'd you make of it?
I made some Kool-Aid.
Oh, here we go.
Oh,
boy. Let's go. We're going to the playoffs.
The Tito's came out. I was like,
did you make some blue Kool-Aid, Ryan? Huh? Did you drink up on that?
Wait, you had Griffin? Tito's and Kool-Aid?
That's our drink.
That sounds horrible.
Not when it's Lions Kool-Aid.
I mean, Lions Kool-Aid over here. Sure. I'm just not, I like vodka, but not with Kool-Aid.
You haven't had this Kool-Aid yet.
I guess not.
Kool-Aid that takes you in every. It takes you in every season when when the first game is about to kick off and it has you thinking this is our year. This is the kind of Kool-Aid that has you believe in 12-4, 11-5 is possible. Like this is the kind of Kool-Aid right here that tells you Matthew Stafford is a first ballot Hall of Famer. This is the kind of Kool-Aid right here, Dan. You'd see the drafting of DeAndre Swift and say, oh my God, we have the best running back room in the history of the NFL.
It's like, just when I think you couldn't be possibly any dumber, you go out and do something like this and totally redeem yourself.
Yep. Man, they had to sell that van for a scooter. That's a hilarious scene in film. And if you don't get the reference, I'm sorry. Dumb and Dumber. Were you excited?
I mean, this is a guy I think everyone in the fan base was clamoring for all summer.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. I did a little clamoring for Everson Griffin in the summer.
But it's just one of those things. I mean, we mentioned yesterday, Freddie said on the call, it's like, but are they actually going to win enough to be a playoff team? Are they actually going to make some noise in the playoffs? Or are they just going to win enough for Patricia and Quinn to keep their job?
And so I wonder what the ultimatum is here. Do you think it is win a playoff game and that's like their only hope? Do you think
seven games?
Seven games. Seven wins?
Yeah.
Total?
Yeah.
For the season?
Yep. Can you expect anything less from anything more from this franchise than a 7-win season to save a regime?
A regime. I love it, like it's some sort of dictatorship in the Sudan or something. All right, we'll step aside. We'll talk a little Michigan football. Josh Henschke of 24/7 Sports here next on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Home air quality has always been important. These days, even more so. That's why your local Root dealer is offering you a free healthy home analysis. We'll inspect your current system to make sure it's running properly and keeping your family as safe as possible. Healthy air is important for having a healthy family. Call your local Root dealer today and schedule a free healthy home analysis. To find your local dealer, visit Root.com. That's R-U-U-D.com. Rely on Root.
Huge here for my friends at DraftKings. Now, there's no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes that are up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, do it. Download the DraftKings daily fantasy app and remember that promo code HUGE for your shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Like I said, for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on all the action. Enter code HUGE to get that free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code HUGE only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Download that DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now and remember promo code HUGE.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at hashtag PopTheTap at FreddyThePizzaMan.com. That's F-R-E-D-I, thepizzaman.com. Or email freddythepizzaman@gmail.com.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen and Ryan Elke in our Motor City studio. I'm Anthony Bellino coming from the Radio Bunker. Join us on the horn right now covering the Michigan Wolverines for 24/7 Sports. It's our guy, Josh Henschke. Josh, my friend, first and foremost, thank you as always for taking the time to join us. I like this. It's a little routine, a little regular, talking a little Michigan football on a Wednesday morning.
Yes, sir. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
It was a fun weekend. Let's just call it what it is. Somebody like me with my ties to Michigan, my fanhood for Michigan, everything about Michigan in the state of Michigan went right for me on Saturday and Sunday. I had a blast watching that football game Saturday night. I didn't know really what to expect. I was hopeful for the best. I was concerned because I had seen the worst, what I think is the worst. And in this football game, in which that first drive, a punt is forced, you know, and it's like, okay, all right, we had to punt. You know, we were facing 4th and 30 at the Michigan 34, right? And then the punt gets blocked, right? And I'm like, nah, what are we going to do here? Like, what's happening right now? Why did that just happen? Minnesota scores. When it's 7-0 Minnesota in the first quarter, after all of that, with their offense not even stepping on the field, where were you at mentally with this game? How were you feeling this was going to go?
Yeah, kind of. It was a very deja vu type of feeling because every time, not every time, but, you know, when Michigan's on the road in big games like this, and it still was a big game no matter how, you know, you spin it after, you know, after the fact. But, you know, Michigan's been in those situations on the road before where, you know, they get punched in the mouth early and then they kind of, you know, effectively wet themselves and don't do anything about it afterwards. So, this was kind of, like you mentioned, I mean, that was a big-time response to, you know, getting socked in the mouth relatively early. And then considering, you know, Ben Mason's penalty on the second snap of their offensive possession, you know, it's kind of, you know, it looked like it could, there was a chance that, you know, things could get away from them, but, you know, this is how you can tell that, you know, a team has grown, you know, from seasons past is, you know, they bounce back. And I mean, you couldn't ask for a better bounce back, you know, all not necessarily on the special team side of the ball, but certainly offensive and defensively. I mean, that response, you know, the rest of the way was, you know, darn near flawless.
Yeah, you mentioned the Ben Mason, the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. It was 1st and 10 at the Minnesota 46. Joe Milton completed his first pass of the game to Blake Corum, and a 24-yard scamper. That ball was thrown about 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. That was just, hey, you know what? New quarterback in here. Let's give him an easy one early. Blake took off with it. That was great to see. Yeah, you're looking at 2nd and 7 from the Minnesota 43. All of a sudden, that turned into 2nd and 22 from the Michigan 42. Then there was a sack, and then the block kick, and I'm like, this is not what I was expecting. But I will say, as we take a look further into this ball game against Minnesota, Michigan has a legitimate quarterback who has the potential to be an elite collegiate quarterback. When you hear me say that statement, do you agree? Do you disagree? Your take?
I'm not quite at that level yet. You know, I obviously got to see it play out a little more. But I mean, when you're talking about a first start, I mean that's about as good of a first time start from a quarterback that you can get. I mean, like I mentioned, practically flawless in terms of, you know, passing the ball. You know, it's the first time in a long time that all of the hype that's surrounded a starting quarterback kind of lived up to the billing, at least for one weekend. You know, the big arm, you know, Joe Milton's ability to scramble, you know, he definitely showcased it all and you know, passing grades all around. I thought he was fantastic week one. So he's definitely well on his way. I don't think I'm ready to jump on the elite quarterback bandwagon just yet. You know, I mean, he has an opportunity. I mean, a lot of things happening around the NCAA right now, or excuse me, the Big Ten right now, that are kind of leading to fortuitous bounces in regards to Michigan. You know, playing teams like Penn State and Wisconsin, you know, there's definitely chances to, you know, build up on that resume. But, yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, a first time starter, I mean, that you probably can't get much better than that outside of maybe, you know, throwing multiple touchdown passes. But again, that's just being really nitpicky. But, yeah, I mean, definitely a poised and just calm and cool in the pocket. You know, I think he did pretty much everything and more that, you know, you wanted to see week one.
Yeah, and it really felt like in Josh Gattis's offense that Josh knew, you know, Coach Gattis knew exactly what he had with Joe Milton. He didn't put too much on him. I thought the pocket presence, the awareness, the poise, the composure, all of that was there for Milton. I felt like he really felt himself back there. You could just kind of tell that he got rid of the ball when he needed to. And Gattis's play calling, mixing up, okay, well, this wasn't a designed run, but, you know, Milton was forced to scramble. They go back to a designed run the next play. Then they fake that motion a little bit later to catch the tight end down the middle. I believe that ball was actually dropped. But Milton finished 15 of 22 for 225 and a score. Like, it was great. When you look at the way and watching this game from home, one of the big questions was Michigan's receivers not having that big name guy like a Nico Collins or a Donovan Peoples-Jones or even a, you know, Tariq Black, that who was going to be the guy that was going to step up. I don't necessarily need to have a guy like DPJ, and hear me out when I say this, with a lot of the hype and a lot of the eyeballs and a lot of the press clippings around him. I just need four guys to be able to go out there and line up at the wide receiver position. They can do their job, catch the football, block downfield. You know what I'm saying? I don't necessarily need a seven-star stud. When you heard Kirk Herbstreit talking about and Chris Fowler talking about the fact that they don't have that quote-unquote elite receiver, what do you make of this core group?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think like Jim Harbaugh mentioned this week, you know, Josh Gattis really understands and knows his personnel in terms of, you know, putting them in positions to be successful and knowing their strengths and knowing their weaknesses. So I think if you've got a guy that can, you know, that knows your team that well, I think you're setting your players up for success. And obviously, you know, quarterback play helps out a lot in that regard in terms of, you know, getting people involved and, you know, finding separation for receivers and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, obviously they would like to have Nico Collins. I mean, adding Nico Collins into that group would have been, you know, would have been a nice addition to have. However,
dynamite.
I think, because looking back, you kind of, you know, hindsight, obviously. But, you know, I think Michigan's got a group of guys that are, it's weird because they keep using this term that they're selfless and very united. They keep saying this year that the chemistry is really well. I don't know why they keep, you know, mentioning this, but it's, you know, they mention that the chemistry and this team as a whole is really strong. And I think, you know, that helps out a lot with a wide receiver group that isn't necessarily concerned with how many touches they get in the game, as long as the team is successful. And I think that kind of is a good ingredient. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, some three-star borderline scrubs here. I mean, you know, Giles Jackson was a four-star guy. Mikey Singer still was a fringe four-star guy. So yeah, there's definitely talent there, but you know, would an elite game changing wide receiver, you know, change the course of Michigan's offense? Yeah, it would probably help, but you know, I think just how many weapons they have ready, that just the difference in athleticism and speed that they have this year, even compared to last year, is almost night and day. And I think that changes a lot. You know, when you've got Josh Gattis who understands what he has, what the limitations are, and what they can do, I think that makes a huge difference in getting those guys ready.
John Shensky joining us right now here on X's and Bros, managing editor of the Michigan Insider on 24/7 Sports. And I like the fact in your Twitter profile you have the miserable Detroit sports Twitterer. I think that's pretty funny. We might be able to touch on that a little bit later. Okay, so we went quarterback. We talked about wide receivers. When we look at the running game, you talk about the old John Wooden quote, right? When it's amazing what you can accomplish when no one cares who gets the credit. And Hassan Haskins gets 6 carries. Zach Charbonnet had 4. I'll take Joe Milton out of the equation with his 8 carries for 52 yards, and you still end up with the running back core going for 200-plus yardage. Blake Corum got in the mix with 5 touches. Chris Evans, great to see him back on the football field. Great to see him getting not only the reception, but also his 5 carries and a score. What a special moment for that young man to make it back. Giles Jackson, A.J. Henning, both of those guys getting into the mix. What did you make of the running back by committee? And when we say committee, we're not talking one or two guys. We're talking about basically the entire running back room getting touches in that football game.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't come as a surprise if you've been paying attention to what the coaching staff has said in regards to that position group, that they're, you know, absolutely loaded. And, you know, getting a guy like Chris Evans back is, you know, a huge bonus to a room that was already stacked. I mean, you know, Zach Charbonnet and Hassan Haskins, they, you know, they had definitely have another level to go. that they can reach in terms of their potential. I personally really like Blake Corum and his game, and it's very similar to kind of like a Hassan Haskins type of guy. But you know, you saw it the first, you know, play of the game. He goes for what, 12 or 15 yards off the screenplay. So, I mean, that's just what you have. You've got some athletic guys that can kind of burn you downfield, and obviously that's credit to the offensive line as well to kind of create those holes, especially, you know, when you're talking about Zach Charbonnet's 70 yard touchdown run that he had, you know, wasn't even touched. Just, you know, offensive line was just opening massive, massive holes and moving people, which is really good to see. So, I mean, ooh, sorry about that. Just knocking stuff over here.
Hey, man, it's early. Got to have some flapjacks. Throw the legs on there for you. I'll be up there in like 45 minutes.
but you can tell with the you know, running back position that, you know, it came as advertised. I mean, the coaching staff was extremely, extremely high on what they had returning. Obviously, throwing Chris Evans into the mix, you know, it was very obvious that, you know, these guys kind of know what they're talking about.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe they weren't flapjacks. Maybe that was like one of those like took German pints. You're just getting after it early. You know, Josh might sound docile, folks, but he's been known to you know, throw him back a little bit. You mentioned the offensive line there, partner, and I thought they were fantastic as well. They kept Joe Milton upright. They picked up blitzes very well for a group that was trying to replace so much up front. I thought the offensive line was very impressive.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking nearly flawless. I mean, outside of one sack, which I don't necessarily pin on the offensive line because Milton was scrambling around a little bit. But, I mean, yeah, they created holes. They kept Milton upright. He wasn't hurried at all during the game. I mean, he just had all the time in the world in the pocket to make his plays. And, you know, it really showed. But, yeah, I mean, again, it's one of those things that, you know, Ed Warner has been touting his guys and saying that, you know, just because these are, you know, they don't necessarily have starting experience under their belt, they have seen the field and they've been around the program for a while. And, you know, I think Michigan's finally at the point now, you know, where they can reload the offensive line instead of rebuilding. Because, again, I mean, you're talking about four offensive linemen going to the NFL the year prior, four new faces who don't necessarily have experience as a starter, including a walk-on at center, a former walk-on at center, and Andrew DeStardis. I think, you know, Ed Warner's really got that group to, you know, and it wasn't too long, it wasn't so very far ago that, you know, the offensive line was an issue. Now it's, you know, arguably one of the biggest strengths of the entire team. And, yeah, I think we're at the point now where you can see, you know, a group that's just reloading talent instead of, you know, rebuilding from the ground up and building it up that way.
Beautiful to see. Let's talk kickers, because on this program, I believe that specialists, they got to be special. Jake Moody, 7 of 7 on extra points. That's nice. Had three opportunities from the field in which he went 0-for-3 on field goals. What is the kicking situation? I think that a lot of people had just assumed that the field goal kicker that would trot out there would be Quinn Nordine, who's a senior. Instead, it is Jake Moody, the junior, who got the nod in this ballgame. What can you tell us about the kicking situation?
Yeah, you know, Harbaugh mentioned after the game that Quinn Nordine was working through something. I don't know what that something is. He got healthy and then kind of re-aggravated whatever he was going through this week and wasn't able to play. So Harbaugh expects him back in practice this week. He might already be practicing for all I know. But, yeah, I mean, he'll definitely be in the competition for, you know, for kicker there, I think. You know, I don't know what happened with Jake Moody. I mean, one of the missed kicks was a bad snap. Okay, fine. You know, you could blame weather if you want, but at the end of the day, fortunately, those three missed kicks didn't, you know, ultimately impact the scoreline. But yeah, I mean, you want to make. I mean, all around, I mean, I think special teams outside of, you know, the return game with Michael Barrett's big return. You know, I don't think they were that great. Granted, they only punted once, I believe, and that was the block punt. So, I mean, there's blemishes there. There's definitely room for improvement, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Quinn Nordine is ready to go, on Saturday, that you'll see him at some point, whether it's, you know, kicking extra points or, you know, lengthy field goals, I think he'll be out there. I mean, you've got two kickers that, you know, that both coaching staffs are very high on. So I expect that competition to, you know, rage on throughout the year.
I don't know. Specialists, they got to be special. Yeah, if you got a chance to put points on the board, you got to do it, because, and you mentioned the punt block too, just head scratching moments there. Defensively, thought the team was very sound. I was a little concerned about the fact that overall, you know, they did give up, 129 yards on the ground, 140 yards to Ibrahim. So that was a little bit concerning. He scored twice. I was a little nervous about his 26 carries. And they kind of let Rashad Bateman get anything that, you know, I wouldn't say anything that he wanted to, but they keep that guy in front of us, and we're going to be okay. We're going to force somebody else to beat us. And I thought that defensively as a whole, yeah, I guess I could make some complaints about that, but I thought that they got after the quarterback. I thought the pressure was there. Cam McGrone is a bad man. Overall, I thought the defense performance was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Quiddy Pay sticks out. You know, Michael Barrett, you know, in more ways than one stuck out. But, yeah, I mean, you got to the point in the second half where Quiddy Pay just kind of just took over. You know, multiple sacks on one drive, just, you know, doing whatever he wanted with the offensive lineman in terms of shedding blocks and all that stuff. It was a very good sign that, you know, Michigan was able to, you know, get some pressure, especially from the interior of the defensive line, because that was considered a question mark heading into the year. But there's a lot of guys there that made some plays. And, you know, in terms of Jamon Green, I think, you know, that was probably as good as a start as you could ask for, outside of, you know, I think he had two dropped interceptions that he should have had. But again, that's a bit nitpicky at this point. But yeah, for a guy that, you know, for two guys, including Vincent Gray too, having an assignment like Rashad Bateman is not an easy task. And I think they did pretty well in terms of minimizing his damage. I don't think Bateman's the type of guy that you're just not going to shut down. You just have to hope to, you know, minimize the damage, and I think they did. So, you know, I think they'll trade Bateman, you know, minimizing to, you know, whatever he ended up with in terms of yardage, and exchange it for, you know, more rushing yardage to, you know, for Ibrahim, because, you know, Ibrahim's pretty good himself. You know, he was kind of stuck behind, you know, a lengthy line of running backs last year, and he's, you know, pretty darn good in his own right. So, it really wasn't surprising to see him do what he did. But I think if you're Michigan, you'd take that trade off all day, every day. You know, a 20 something point win with two rushing touchdowns and shutting down an All-American caliber receiver. I think, you know, they'd be very pleased with that.
He's Josh Henschke. You can find him on Twitter at Josh Henschke. Josh, my friend, as always, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you, man, and enjoy the upcoming weekend in the battle for Paul Bunyan.
Of course. Thank you for having me on.